Glory to God. Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 3, and let's read that together. John chapter 3, verse 16, 17, and 18. When you get there, say amen. Amen. Let's read it out loud together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Let's turn to John 16. Let's look at verse 13. Actually, let's look at 12 and 13. It says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, thank God he has, he will what? Guide you, where? Into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will do what? He will show you things to come. Hallelujah. So he will do three things here. He says he will guide us, he will speak to us, and he will do what? Show us things to come. Hallelujah. I want you to make note of that. He will guide us, he will speak to us, and he will show us things to come. So let's turn back to John 14. I'm going to reference this scripture in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. It says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us, how? By his Spirit. He's revealing things by his Spirit. So he will speak to us, he will reveal things to us by his Spirit, and he'll guide us. John 14 and verse 17. It says, but even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but what? You know him. Say, I know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Let's say that again. I know him. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Let's back up to John 10, and let's look at verse 3. John 10, starting in verse 3. Oh, I know him. Verse 3, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by what? Name, and he does what? He leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Say, I follow him. I know him, and I follow him. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. If you look up that word know, it means to understand or perceive. It implies intimacy, or you could say communion, fellowship. That's what it implies. When I say I know him, it implies that I have fellowship. I know him. I have communion or intimacy with the Holy Ghost. That's what that implies. 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost. We're to have communion with him. Hallelujah. This says, if the Spirit of God, this is what I was saying before, when we have communion with him, he will lead us and guide us. He will speak to us. But as I was saying before, if he does not say anything to us, then we need to make some choices. We need to make some decisions in life and let him lead us. Now, there's scripture. I'll give you a few. 2 Corinthians 9:7, it says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart. So you can purpose in your heart to do something. Yes, we use that scripture for giving. Yes, we do look to the Holy Spirit to guide us in our giving. But if he doesn't say anything to you what to give, what does it say? Is every man purposeth in his heart. Not in God's heart, your heart. You decide what you're going to give. What things soever you desire. Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire. When you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. God does put desires in our heart, but he also gives you your desires. Amen. I'm going to give you four ways. We covered this before. There's four ways we hear from the Lord. These are basic, but the primary way that we hear from him is right here, in the Word of God. That's the primary way. You could say he speaks to us is the word and the inward witness. Those are the two primary ways that the Holy Ghost, by his Spirit, will speak to us, is his word and the witness. So he will speak to us through his word and the inward witness. And then, of course, we have the third way is the inward, still small voice. It's your spirit, your conscience speaking. But then there's in Romans 9:1, it's the co-witness. It's my spirit and his spirit speaking to my spirit. It's a still small voice. Whose voice is that? It's your spirit speaking. And the fourth way is the voice of the Holy Spirit, a more authoritative voice. You think somebody's speaking in the room, but it's really inside you. It's an authoritative voice, not a still small voice. And you know the difference. Let me ask a question. You know the difference between somebody whispering and somebody speaking up loud? Of course you do. Somebody would say, well, I don't know the difference. Well, let me ask you something. I just gave you an example. Can you tell the difference between this and this? Of course you can. And so the difference between God speaking in an authoritative voice or you hearing your spirit speak. A little different. So let's go over to Romans 8, 8th chapter, and let's look at verse 14. We're backtracking. We're just looking at a few scriptures, how to develop sensitivity to hearing God more clearly. Now, don't let this be too basic to you, because I feed on this all the time. Because my desire is to be sensitive to Him. And it's a growth process. We're all at different stages, but we're all growing. But you can reach a place of higher sensitivity to Him in hearing Him by feeding on a few things and doing some things. Romans chapter 8, King James Version, says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Verse 15, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." The Spirit, verse 16, I'm going to read this the way most of the modern translations, "The Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Verse 17, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together." So we could say this: I am not externally led, I am internally led. And that's going to have some significance. I am not externally led. I'm not led by circumstances. I'm led internally. We just got done reading this. God is not using life's circumstances to lead you. He's leading you by His Spirit. And I'm going to say this, there are millions of Christians, people who love the Lord, people who are born again, that think that it's difficult, near impossible, to hear from God. Now, I know that's not this group, because we've been taught and we've experienced His leadings. But you hear people say more often than not, "Well, I guess God didn't want me to have that job, because such and such happened." Have you heard that? Have you also heard this? "Well, I guess it's not God's will for me to live." Oh, we got a nod there. Right. That's all right. Don't worry about that. They didn't miss it. But you understand my point. The Bible says that we are led, we are the children of God, we are led by the Spirit of God, and He leads us by the inward witness, not by circumstances. We need to get that fixed once and for all. Now, He does have mercy upon us when we do those things. But that is not how God leads us. And when people do that, or if we get over into that kind of foolish thinking, because that's all it really is, it's carnal thinking. And why do I say that? Anything that is not godly, or if it's not scriptural, it's not spiritual. If it's not spiritual, it's carnal. So when we think for one second that God is in this circumstance, it's carnal. We just need to admit it. It's foolish thinking. That's just the truth. Brother Hagin, when he was alive, he'd say this more often than not: we need to be more God inside minded. So let's say that again. I am not externally led. I am inwardly led by his Spirit.
By his Spirit.
See? Amen. All of us. And I'm going to say this. Yes, we have fivefold ministry gifts. God has set them in the body for our building up. But we are not led by them. We are not led by apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. We are not led by them. I'm going to say it again. We are not led by them. We are led by the inward witness. And Brother Hagin would say it. He'd say, God uses me or used him in the gifts of the Spirit. But he'd say it more often than not humbly. He would say, look, he said, if it doesn't bear witness with your spirit, throw it out. Amen. He said, I'm a man. I can miss it. Amen. You know, I was listening to him in some of his tapes recently, been feeding upon them. He said there is so much when he was alive. He said there's so much nonsense in the church concerning the gifts of the Spirit. And yet God used him in all these gifts. And he said there's so much stuff going on in the church. He said it turned me off. This is what Brother Hagin said. And he said if I'm not careful, I will pull back. And he said, I don't want anything to do with it. Because he said more people were hurt and destroyed and stuff. And he said he'd see it over and over again, and it turned him off. And he said, if I'm not careful, I'll pull back and get in trouble with God because I don't want to have anything to do with it. And of course, he had a wider scope of seeing things. And so we need to be careful where personal prophecy is concerned. Very careful. And it needs to be judged. Amen. We are led by the inward witness. That's not to say that the gifts of the Spirit and personal prophecy is not valid. But you need to judge it. And if it doesn't bear witness in here, throw it out. Amen. This isn't you. It's the Holy Ghost bearing witness. You shall know them by their fruit. Amen. Let me read verse 16 in some modern translations. The Spirit, this is a complete Jewish Bible, the Spirit himself bears witness with our own spirit. This is the J.B. Phillips. The Spirit himself endorses our inward conviction. See what I was saying before? You can have an inward conviction to go in this direction, and he endorses it. He says, yeah, keep going. But you've got to have some inward conviction. You've got to make some choices. And then he will endorse it or not. Does that make sense? Make some choices, folks. Do something, and then he will endorse it or not. That's another word of saying. This is the easy to read version. The Spirit himself speaks to our spirits and makes us sure. See, he makes you sure that that's the right direction. That's the right choice that you're making. It's either green or yellow or red. Nothing else. Hallelujah. So how do we develop this sensitivity? We're talking about being led by the inward witness. How do we know? Well, let me give you a simple example. We're talking about developing a sensitivity to the Spirit of God, you got to have to develop your own spirit. The more aware you are of your spirit, the more aware you are of Him. The more aware you are of your own spirit, the more aware you are of the Spirit of God, because you'll be aware of your spirit. Whatever you exercise and feed and give time to is what you're going to be aware of. Whatever you feed and exercise is what you're going to be aware of. If you feed and exercise your mind, you're going to be dull of spirit. Your mind will be sharp, but you won't have a clue of spiritual things. And if you exercise and feed your body, if you feed and exercise your body, you'll just be in good shape. That's about it. And so when you exercise, think about this, when you exercise your muscles and you focus on exercising your muscles, let me ask this question. Do you become very aware of what you're exercising? Oh yeah, in about a day or an hour or so, you'll become very aware of what you've been exercising. So what's the point? We need to feed and exercise our spirit. So what are we talking about? Feeding your spirit what? The Word of God? Exercising it, what does that mean? Doing what you're hearing. Walking by faith, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, praying in the Spirit. Exercising your spirit, you become more aware of your spirit, and the more you feed on the Word of God, the more you become aware of the person who inspired the Word of God. Who is who? The Spirit of God. So the more you feed on the Word of God, you become more aware of the Spirit of God. So we don't want to become familiar with the spirit of the world. We want to be familiar with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of the Word, not the spirit of the world. What does the scripture say? Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? That's why I was saying before, we need not to be so worldly minded. We need to be not worldly, because we have nothing in common with this world. What communion hath light with darkness? We are to be a light. We are to be a city set upon a hill. So too much of the spirit of the world dulls your spirit. So when we commune and fellowship with the spirits that motivate, so in other words, when we commune too much with the spirit of this world, we're communing and fellowshipping with the spirits that motivate it. So you think, well, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I watch this or I listen to this. Okay, so when you do, the more you do, the more you put into your spirit the spirit that's behind it. Let me ask this question. We spend all of our time trying to become, and I use that word trying, our desire is to be more spiritual. So what do? We place ourselves of our own choice in settings that are more spiritual. And we trust that the Spirit And the motivation behind it is what? Unctioned by the Holy Ghost. Well, you can do the same thing. You can put yourself in worldly settings that is ungodly. What do I mean? God's not in it. God's not mentioned in it. And there's another spirit motivating behind it. And what you put your mind on, you open your heart up to. So when you put your mind on stuff you watch and read and listen to, you open your heart up to it and the spirit that motivates it. And it dulls your spirit. It dulls the sensitivity of your spirit. Because the more of that seed that you put down in there, you'll get a crop. It may not be the crop you want. Amen. Now, am I saying that we can't have fun and enjoy some things in this earth? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying we can enjoy this things in this earth, but we're to be a witness in this earth. And we are not to be embracing the spirit of this world. I'm just putting it plain. Because if you sit here and tell me with all of your heart you want to hear him more clearly, it's going to require choices on our part. We cannot be worldly. What does that mean? That means I got to live holy and be holy as he is holy. That's just the way it is. That's the way it is. And it won't come other way. Another way. I mean, if Paul wrote, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath light with darkness," I think he makes it pretty plain. It may not make us comfortable, but it's truth. And every time we look at something, read something, hear something, be around people, we need to have this. We need to be looking on the inside. What did he say? He said, those that are the children of God are led by the inward witness. So we may innocently go into a setting and something just don't feel right. You need to have your antennas up. Why? What is this, Lord? You know, we all can be led. And when we miss it, we need to go back and say, where did I miss it? What did I miss it on? Because he said he will guide us, he will speak to us, and he will show us things to come. And it means we don't have to. Being led is not being led by a school of hard knocks. Amen. So if your mind is not on something, your heart is not open to it. Your heart is not in what your mind is not on. I'm going to say it again. Your heart is not in what your mind is not on. If your mind is on carnal things, your heart's on carnal things. You can't have your mind on carnal things and then your heart open to spiritual things. It doesn't work that way. You want scripture? I'll give you scripture. Turn over to Romans chapter 8 and look at 5 and 6. We're right there. It says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, they do mind, or they said it's after the things, but they are after the things of the Spirit. Verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Let me read it out of the Amplified. It says, for those who are living according to the flesh, I like this. This is the Amplified. Set their minds on things of the flesh. They set their minds. So they made a choice. Which gratify the body. But those who are living according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit, His will and purpose. Now the mind of the flesh is death, both now and forever, because it pursues sin. But the mind of the Spirit is life and peace, the spiritual well-being that comes from walking with God, both now and forever. So when we need direction from God, we need to have quiet time, a quiet place where what? We can hear our own spirit. When you're so busy and you got your mind on other things, you can't have your mind on, in other words, if I need direction, I've got my mind on that. I don't have my mind on 25 other things. If I need direction for a specific thing, I get quiet and I have my mind on it. I'll tell you, just during worship this morning, I had my mind on something, even though you all were worshiping, I had my mind on something and I heard the Holy Ghost talking down here, giving me comfort and direction. Clearly, but it was my spirit speaking. Still small voice, but I could hear him. Giving me comfort and direction and telling me, do such and so and so and so and so and so and so and so. Now that was my quiet place there, even all in the noise. But we can make, you got to put your mind on, when you need something, you put your mind on it. And you ask. He will speak to you and give you direction. Amen. And that's how it comes. He will speak to your spirit and what? Illumination will come to your mind. Let's turn to Psalm 32. Psalm 32 and verse 8 and 9. Psalm 38, verse 8 and 9. Psalm 32, sorry. Psalm 32, verses 8 and 9. I'm going to read this in a few translations. But verse 8 in the King James, it says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Does that sound affirmative? Does that sound like I've got to go through circumstances for him to guide me? No. Verse 9. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Let me read this. This is the Living Bible. I will instruct you, says the Lord, and guide you along the best pathway for your life. Does that sound like problems? No. He said, the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch your progress. Don't be like a senseless horse or mule that has to have a bit in its mouth to keep it in line. So he's telling us, we can be led. It's his desire to lead us, but don't be like the mule or the horse that needs a bit. What does that mean? They're unruly. They won't follow instructions. They won't listen. So you got to have something to hit it. Get it, stay in line. He's got the bit to keep it from jerking. But we're to be led by what we call the scripture talks, the reins, just a light tap. It's a light tap. Go over here. Okay? I'll move over here. Doesn't have to be whipped. This is the contemporary English version. You said to me, I will point out the road that you should follow. I will be your teacher and watch over you. Don't be stupid like horses and mules that must be led with ropes to make them obey. So he's not calling us stupid, but he is saying we can be when we don't listen. And he's leading us and guiding us. And he's, what did I say? I am not externally led, I am internally led. He's going to lead me in the right path. He's going to let me know this is the right way. Not by trials and tribulations. And although we do walk through trials and tribulations in this earth, but he will lead us out of them. So let me ask this question. What's the issue with the horse and the mule? No understanding. So it's back to people thinking that they can't be led, or they're not clear about his voice or his leadings. He said, what did he say here? I will lead you. I will counsel you. But don't be as the horse or the mule. So let's make this profession. God is instructing me. He's teaching me in the way that I should go. He watches over me. He guides me throughout my life. I am a child of God, and I am led by the Spirit of God. Now, when you say that, you say it in faith, releasing faith in your words. He teaches me. He guides me. He speaks to me. He shows me the right path to take. And he's watching my progress. What does that mean? As I'm going down the right road, I decide to go this way. He goes, nope, stay right here. Don't go anywhere. Be steady. Or he may say, stop. You know, I'm thinking about when I heard the voice of the Lord as a young man in my 20s. I heard him speak audibly while I was in a time of prayer in my room. He told me what I would be doing. But from that point until now, was actually in my 30s, not my 20s. But 20-some years later, here I am. But there was a time of me helping and being prepared. He didn't say anything. He didn't need to. It wasn't time yet. So what do? You be faithful. You keep your hands busy. Put them to the plow. Be a help. Be a support. Do what the Lord tells you to do. And so sometimes we're getting direction, but as I said before, are we adding to it? Do we think he meant something else? No, he meant exactly what he said. Especially if he spoke to you audibly. He didn't mean anything else. And in my case, he meant exactly what he said. And there's a whole lot more that has not been fulfilled. And so I'm patient. And I just keep steady. I don't add to it. I don't try to make something happen. No need to. He's watching my progress. He's guiding me. He's leading me. And I'm doing what he tells me to do. That's all we got to do. Amen. Because when we add to, when we try to make something happen, we get in trouble. We miss it. Amen. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. We'll close with this scripture. Ephesians chapter 5. How many are convinced they can be led and hear him more clearly? I am, and that's my confession, my profession. Ephesians chapter 5, and let's start in verse 14. Starting in verse 14, I'm going to read the King James Version. It says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Verse 16, "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Now look at verse 17. "Wherefore, be not unwise, but what? Understanding what the will of the Lord is." Can we understand his will? Yes, he said, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So when you look at this, when he says, be not unwise, he's saying, you, be not unwise. So that's something we have control over. We have control over the choices that we make. What is he saying? Be not unwise. This has to do with choices, not circumstances. Sometimes we create circumstances because of the choices we make. And then we say, see what happened? God did such and such. No, he didn't. You were just a fool. You were unwise in your choices. Let me read this out of a few translations here, the Amplified. It says, "For this reason, he says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine as dawn upon you and give you light. Therefore, see that you walk carefully, living life with honor, purpose, and courage, shunning those who tolerate and enable evil." What are we supposed to do? Shun them. "Not as the unwise, but as the wise, sensible, intelligent, discerning people. Make the very most of your time on earth, recognizing and taking advantage of each opportunity and using it with wisdom and diligence, because the days are filled with evil. Therefore, do not be foolish and thoughtless, but understand and firmly grasp what the will of the Lord is." Every time we make a choice, we need to think about this opportunity of time that I have. What am I using it for? Is that the best use of my time? Am I being foolish and unwise, or am I being discerning of the time that I'm using? I remember, it's interesting, just as I'm mentioning that, choices that I've made about time, I remember we bought many, many years ago, I'm thinking about Pastor Clinton, the thought just came up. We bought this keyboard, a Kurzweil. Spent a lot of money on it. He was excited about it. He came down there, and you couldn't find him in his office. He was down on the stage floor. He had his hands in there and elbows deep, learning everything. And the next thing, I didn't see him. And he said the Holy Ghost got on him and said, "I didn't call you to do that. Go back in your office." And he was in there, boy, he was in here day after day, week after week, playing around with it, doing stuff, learning it. And the Holy Ghost, he'd have gotten in trouble with God. He said, I didn't call you to that. Go back in your office. And he dropped it like a hot potato. You didn't see him on it anymore. So there's things that all of us, you know, that's what I'm talking about. Do something. He did something. But then the Holy Ghost said, no. And so that's what we do. We make a choice, and he will affirm or support your decision or not. He'll let you know it's the right way. Listen to this. This is the J.B. Phillips. Thus God speaks through the Scriptures. Not what we were talking about before. God speaks through the Scriptures. Awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you life. Listen to this. Live life with a due sense of responsibility. Not as men who do not know the meaning and purpose of life, but as those who do. Do you know what the purpose of life is? Yes, I do. Make the best use of your time despite all the difficulties of these days. Don't be vague, but firmly grasp what you know to be the will of God. Once you know it, grip it and make the best use of your time. Don't be irresponsible with the use of your time. The times that we're living in are getting darker and darker and more tense and more evil. And you better know and hear him and be led. Because when you walk into your place of business, you better be led. You better hear him. How many remember the stories of some of the members here that were in 9/11? That led them to do things. I'm thinking of John Blakely. He said the Holy Ghost told him, empty his office. He was in one of the towers. He worked for one of the banking investment companies. He emptied all of his office. He was employed. He's like, why am I doing this? He found out. And others. Thinking of Diana Clark. She's married, but... Jones, but I'm thinking she stayed home with her mom. That whole floor was gone. Be led. Be led. Know the will of God. It can be the difference between your life or helping someone who's in despair. Bringing a word of encouragement. Know the will of God. Hear him. Amen. Glory to God. So don't be foolish with our time. Don't be like the horse or the mule that needs a bit to lead them. Let's be sensitive to his spirit. Let's be sensitive to his leadings and promptings. Just like this morning. I just had this sense we need to wait a second here. Just wait on the Lord. Wait on him. Yeah, we have things to do. We'll move along. But if we get, just hold steady. Just hold up a second. Because a word could go forth that will change the very direction of our lives. I know him well enough to stop and to listen or be used, one or the other. So the same thing. Say, I know him. I know his voice. And I'm going to be internally led. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many believe that with all of their heart? I do. And more so. Hallelujah. It's my conviction to know him better and not miss it as much. We all miss it in certain things. But my desire is to miss it less and less and less and less and less, and to hear him clear and clearer and clearer. What is it going to take to do that? Because you all say, well, I want to do that. I want to miss it less and less and less and less and less and hear him clearer and clearer and clearer. We just got done reading Romans 8, verse 5 and 6. Don't be so carnally minded. Be more spiritually minded. And you will miss it less and less and less and less. And you will hear him clearer and clearer and clearer. Don't be foolish. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we thank you. We commit with our hearts and our minds to be spiritually minded and less carnally minded. And Father, we determine with our hearts and all of our energy and our faculties to be spiritually minded in a greater way, in a greater measure. For the times are short, and the times are such that you need us more than ever. You want our attention to be focused on you. Father, we thank you. Thank you for living in us. Thank you for guiding us. Thank you for speaking to us and showing us things to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. Amen.